beautiful song with beautiful images. One being in the valley of the shadow of death and knowing that God is with us, right? That we never have to walk through that alone. And perhaps one of the most stunning images of many in Scripture are the standing in the fire. Think of Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, and one who looked like the Son of God standing there with them. And that song stands in beautiful and wondrous and at the same time horrific contrast to what we're going to talk about this morning. Last week we discussed what it was like to be without shame, to be without sin. That brief period in time in human history before the fall, when Adam and Eve existed, but before they had eaten of the tree, and there was no sin, and there was no shame. And today we're going to look at Genesis 3, verses 1 through 7, and it's Adam and Eve living in sin, but without God. That time when they were in sin, but they were indeed alone. And we praise God for that time that we live, where this we can sing, maybe not as beautifully as we just heard, but we can sing just as truthfully that we are not alone. A few years ago, there was a movie that came out with Val Kilmer and Mia Sorvino. It was called At First Sight. I don't know if anyone saw this movie about an individual who was blind, and he met this woman, and she got him into this see this doctor, and he got surgery, and he got his sight back. I see some heads nodding. A few of you have seen this, and there was this stunning scene when he first had the bandages removed, and he nearly lost his mind. He had never seen. So he had never, as an infant, begin to discern shapes and had someone explain to him what they were, begin to discern colors and had someone tell him what they were. Instead, he was seeing everything at once for the first time, and it was nearly too much for him to handle. And his head was whipping about, and I believe the camera showed it from his perspective as he looked at a soda can and a person standing there, and he had no idea what a person looked like as opposed to an IV bag or whatever it was, and he just caused him this tremendous disorientation. It was too much all at once. And that's probably a poor representation of what happened when Adam and Eve ate the fruit of the tree. But I believe there may be some similarities, that they too received too much input too soon with no way to handle it. So today we will be in Genesis 3, verses 1 through 7. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, you can turn to that passage, Genesis 3, 1 through 7. This passage has been treated probably with as much or more derision outside the church and in as any passage in all of Scripture. The talking snakes, people laugh. Cartoons of apples hanging from trees and strategically placed limbs and leaves, and people laugh. Let me tell you this. This is a true story. This is history. This is my history. This is your history. This is the world's history. It is the saddest moment in all of history. But from this passage, we get the doctrine of original sin. From this passage, we get the need for the doctrine of the incarnation, the coming of God in flesh. We get the need for the doctrine of atonement, the need for the cross. If you don't understand what happens in this passage, then you cannot possibly understand the gospel. For this is where it all fell apart, and this is where it all began to be put back together. us pray. Father God, as we open your word this morning, we ask for assurance and enlightenment from your Holy Spirit, that he would illuminate these words for us, helping us to understand beyond our own ability to understand, using all of our ability, but adding yours, which is so much higher than ours. Father, in this, may we receive a renewed or new or increased sensitivity to be warned off from our own sin by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. There are a lot of ways to look at many passages in Scripture, including this one. And one way to look at it, the way I'm going to look at it today, is kind of looking at three things. First, from Adam and Eve's perspective, and then from ours. And those three things are responsibility, reaction, and recovery. Responsibility, reaction, and recovery. But first, let's read. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden'?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You shall not surely die. For God knows, when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. And the eyes of both were opened, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths." The serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that God had made. Now this craftiness, this word is not necessarily a bad thing. It means one who's wise, maybe one that's a little slick, maybe one that's a little capable. But it can be used in a bad way, as it was here. And we must see that this serpent was craftier than any other creature God had made. So this serpent had been created by God. It was a creation of God. It was a creature. And yes, the serpent spoke. The serpent had been used by, possessed by, backed by, however we want to look at it. Paul confirms this later on, the serpent was or was acting in the place of our enemy, Satan. And he questioned God. He initiated this entire discourse by questioning God. There was an order here, responsibility. There was an order of responsibility that God had created, and it started with God himself. And when we read through the first two chapters, we see that God made man and woman and gave them what over the animals? Dominion. It gave them dominion over the animals. Man was not given dominion over a woman, but he was given responsibility in this relationship. And together, they had dominion over the animals. The serpent had no right to speak, let alone to question God. Eve vacated her responsibility by engaging in this conversation that was questioning God. And Adam vacated his responsibility by saying nothing. Did anybody grow up hearing this story thinking that Adam was somewhere else? I did. I don't know if that was intent or just being a guy. Maybe that was my own wishful thinking. But it says clearly, Adam was there with her, and Adam vacated his responsibility by doing nothing, nothing to protect his wife, by doing nothing to protect the Word of God. And so this responsibility was inverted. This authority was inverted. Instead of being God, men and women, and the animals, it became, in their eyes and in their actions, though not in reality, but it became in the way they acted, it became the animal who was the enemy, showing dominion over Eve and Adam and telling them they would be equal with God. In verse 2, we see that Eve, in answering the serpent's question about not eating from the trees of the garden, oh yeah, we can eat from the trees, but the one in the middle, we're not to eat from the fruit of that tree or even touch it. Now, something else has happened here. First, is not recorded anywhere that God told Eve these things. So we would assume that Adam told Eve these things, because God told Adam not to eat of that tree. He didn't say anything about not touching it. So either Adam misspoke to Eve, or Eve simply misspeaks here, or she forgot, or she's trying to add a little something. But what happened, whether it's a lack of understanding or misrepresentation, whatever, the enemy saw an opening and he took it. He saw a less than accurate representation of the Word of God, and he used that as a foothold to step in. Knowing that they were not strictly repeating God's Word, he then comes back to them and adds question to God's Word. You will not surely die. God knows when you eat of the tree, your eyes will be opened. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. He goes further than questioning God's word. Now he begins to question God's integrity, God's authority, God's omnipotence, God's being more than we are. He's saying, you'll be like God. Then the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and a delight to the eyes. And the tree was desired to make one wise. Heard this story, read the story many, many times, but this verse really leapt out to me this time. First of all, the seeing thing. When their eyes were opened later, that's a spiritual thing. That's not vision. They could see visually before this. She saw this before she ate. She saw the tree. Oh, she saw the tree before the serpent spoke to her. What now made it look so good? What now made it look so interesting? It was a lie. That temptation was a lie. It was the same tree she had seen before. She was standing in front of it. But with the serpent's words, it suddenly became a lie. I mean, something became desirable, something that she wanted. Chuck Swindoll tells a story. You may have heard this before, of a restaurant built right on the Gulf of Mexico. You can sit in the dining room. I'm sorry, it's a hotel with a restaurant. The restaurant sits right on the water. You can sit at a table and be right at the water's edge. This big, beautiful window, picture window that opens up. Except the window kept getting cracks in it. Kept getting cracks over and over and over, all over the window. And you know how they got rid of the cracks coming to the window? They took down the signs in the hotel rooms and the floors above it that says, "Do not fish from the balcony." People were fishing from the balcony. The weights on the lines were swinging back and cracking the glass. People probably wouldn't have thought to fish from the balcony until they saw the signs that said, "Don't do it." When they took down the signs that said, "Don't do it," they stopped having the problem. There is something in us that says, this is better than what God has to offer us. This tree that she saw the whole time now suddenly looked better to her, better than what God had offered her. And I think the first sin we often talk about, the first sin as being the fruit that Eve took and ate, I think that may be debatable. I think there's a list here of things that could be considered the first sin, but it's all semantic. This was a sinful event, but Eve allowing the discussion was wrong. Adam allowing the discussion between Eve and the serpent was wrong. Adam not stepping in to intervene was wrong. Eve taking and eating, of course, was wrong. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. So we had the responsibility, which was inverted. We had the reaction to the temptation, which was an improper reaction. Now we want to talk about recovery. For Adam and Eve, it's just an attempted recovery. They attempt to cover themselves. And again, I think this has just been completely misunderstood. At least, or maybe it's just me that has completely misunderstood this passage for so long. This is not just about them covering themselves so as certain parts of their anatomy would not be seen. Something was torn away from them. Their physical state, there was nothing wrong beforehand. God created them in His image. There was nothing wrong. So something changed, and it wasn't their physical appearance, as we would think of it. What changed? What was it that they were missing? Read briefly from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 35. Someone will ask, how are the dead raised? What kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat, or some other grain. But God gives it a body as He has chosen, as to the kind of seed, its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for human, another for animals, another for birds, another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. The glory of the heavenly is one kind. The glory of the earthly is another. There's glory of the sun, the glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for the stars differ from stars in glory. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown, listen to this, it is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. It is not the spirit that is first, but the natural and then the spiritual. The first man came from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of dust. And as the man of heaven, so are also those who are of heaven. Just as we were born the image of man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man in heaven, who is Jesus. And Jesus is God. Do you hear that? We have borne the image of the man in dust. So we, all of us, have borne the image of Adam. But we will bear the image of the man of heaven, who is Jesus. But don't we read that Adam was created in the image of God? So what happened when they ate of the tree is they lost the glory of God. When they ate of the tree, they were stripped bare of the glory of God. So was all of humanity. That's how we get to this passage here in Corinthians. That's what is to come again for us. But that is what they lost. They lost the glory of God. And they had nothing to compare to. They had never seen a before and after picture. They just knew something horrific had been torn away from them. And so their response was to try to cover themselves in the only way that they knew how. They just grabbed some leaves off a tree and started trying to replace the glory of God. Their recovery was to attempt to replace the glory of God with some leaves from a fig tree. But there was no recovery to be had in that way. What they did was permanent. And it set in place for the rest of us. Be born in the image of the man created from dust, but to be born without the glory of God. But there's good news. There was no recovery in their lives for them. There will be for us. There can be for us. So what is our responsibility when faced with temptation? Well, we're all responsible to know God's word. A big part of this problem was, whether it was misunderstood or misrepresented, the enemy got a foothold by the misrepresentation of God's word. We are responsible to know his words, responsible to remember our place in Christ. You want respect. And be what God has created you to be. Treat his word with respect. Honor it. Obey it. You want respect? Respect the word of God. I've seen and read interviews with someone who's attacked someone, shot someone, maybe killed someone because they had been disrespected. I've heard of teachers with problems with students sometimes leading into violence because the student felt disrespected. Want respect? Respect the word of God. Honor it and obey it. Some years ago, a book came out, one of those relationship books, Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. It's ludicrous. Mars and Venus are thousands of miles apart. They're not meant to be together. It's true, men and women are different. We were created to be different. But we were created to be together. That was part of creation, the part that God said is very good. Respect who God has made when he made you. And what is our reaction? Well, if Eve had resisted the devil, he would have fled from her. She didn't have that scripture in front of her in a book, but I think she knew. If Adam had intervened, if either of them had turned to God in that moment, if they really didn't know what to do, if they had turned to God in that moment and cried out for help, would not God have immediately responded? Would not God have protected his creation if they had asked him for help? There's something interesting that we deal with that they did not deal with. Their temptation came completely from without. James 1, beginning with verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. Each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. You see, since we fell, like I said to the children, sin is everywhere, including in our own hearts. Then desire, when it's conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Eve was deceived. We do not have to be deceived. Our reaction should be to learn from what Adam and Eve did not do, to intervene for those who are in trouble, to cry out to God, to respect and honor his word, to resist the devil and force him to flee. But we are dealing with sin within our own heart. You see, what they gave us, their legacy for us, was that original sin that we are born with. But while Adam and Eve had no recovery, we do have a recovery. Romans 5. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all had sinned, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted when there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, but was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, that abounded for many. That is our recovery. We do have a responsibility. We should have a correct reaction. But all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. But we have a path to recovery through Jesus Christ. This original sin that was put into us by that action, as I said earlier, also set in place the need for the incarnation. And God did come in flesh to be that sacrifice for us and provide that atonement for us. Beloved, you have a responsibility. What will be your reaction? you open your mouth, you open your heart, and receive the recovery. The recovery that came from the cross. The recovery that was put in place at the very beginning as God looked past what happened here. We'll get into this more next week, but God looked past what happened here and made a promise that there was a time to come when that serpent's head would be crushed. There was a time to come when there would be an atonement made. And there's a time to come that if we accept this free gift from the one man, Jesus, if we accept that, that we will stand before God and it's like this never happened. We will stand before God as though sinless.